Well, it is good to be here. It's been a little while since we've been and or came here, and it is good to look out and see so many on a Wednesday evening, because for the last few months, we haven't been able to do this at Sunny Slope. We've been able to meet on Sunday morning, the first day of the week, but wow, this is great. Yea, he careth for me. Some of the things I say tonight may sound a little controversial, but I want you to think about it, and the scriptures that we go to, I want you to consider, because sometimes maybe when we think of care, just a question, what do you think of when someone tells you or asks you, how do you care for such and such? What does the word care mean to you? And what I mean by that is, I have chickens, we have dogs, we have goats, and we care for them. We've cared for them for the last 3 years. We go out and feed them, we water them, we make sure everything's fine with them throughout the day, but then at night, we put them up, and we don't think about them until the next morning. Well, think about a fish. You might have a fish for 2 or 3 years, you care for it for 2 or 3 years, and then it dies and you don't care for it anymore. You have a dog. It might go 10 or 15 years. You might, you, your children, in learning about how to care for something, take care of that dog. They don't think about necessarily so much about caring for you or your care for them, maybe, but they learn on little things like how to take care of a dog. Well, you've got to feed it. You've got to water it. You've got to do this. You've got to do that. And of course, most younger kids, well, you're usually selling their dog by the time 6 months or a year comes by, because they don't know how to care for it. They're not old enough to be responsible. When I met Danette over 2 decades ago, I didn't care for her before that. I didn't know her. I didn't care for her before that. I've cared for her in those 20 plus years, and I will care for her as long as we're alive. My children, I didn't care for them 18 years ago because I didn't know, I knew that we was going to have children at some point, but 17 years ago, I started caring for them. Think about God. I want you to think about a concept, eternal care. God cared for you before you was. God cares for you, or will care for you after you leave this earth. It's an eternal care. And he put things in motion at the beginning of time, at the beginning of this world. He put things in motion that would sustain his creation. It doesn't mean that he doesn't care for you now, but it means that, like some, if not most of the religious world, thinks, well, God is ever with me in a way that he talks with me. Oh, God will make sure I take care of this bill, or this bill is paid. God will make sure I have groceries. God will make sure of this, God will make sure of that. We tend to have or think about a care that's short-term, and it's immediate. But God's care for us has always been and ever will be. In a sense, we are his responsibility. We are his creation. If you go to Revelation chapter 4, we'll start off with, just in general, his creation. What is said in the book of Revelation about his creation? One verse pretty much sums it up. And it's a verse where John actually in his vision takes us in the throne room of God. Takes us in the very presence of God, in the throne room of God, where the beasts are, where the 24 elders are, and they're kneeling down, they're casting their crowns before the great I Am, and they're saying something over and over and over again in worship. And what they're saying is, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure. Or other translations may say, by your will, they are and were created. There's God's creation. There's John letting us know in the very throne room of God, He is hearing, He is seeing worship before God. And it's being, His creation is being talked about, being mentioned. And John lets us know. John lets us know that God has created all things. And we know in John chapter 1, the first few verses, that Jesus created. So here we go. And for thy pleasure, they are and were created. So we're created. Now, we hear that word pleasure. Well, God, we're like little checker pieces or chess pieces that God can do whatever He wants to. No, we have free will. God has set in motion His Word that we are to live and abide by His Word, and through His Word, He abides in us and we in Him. Through His Word, His Son abides in us and we abide in Him. There's no special movements or revelations or anything that we receive as far as care packages from God. His care package has already been delivered. And it was delivered through the hands of His Son who came to this earth and died on the cross and shed His blood for us. I know sometimes we get the picture. Maybe our youngsters get the picture and we carry it out through life that Christ is always before God interceding on our behalf in the sense of, Glenn messed up again. God, please forgive him. Glenn messed up again. God, please forgive him. I don't think that's how it works. When we talk about the blood of Christ, Peter mentions a word, the word precious. Precious. Valuable. Rare. Powerful. There's something that we take at a human level about His blood, that His blood continuously cleanseth us as Christians as long as we walk in the light. And that's a wonderful, wonderful place to be in Christ, in fellowship with God and His children through the blood of His Son. His Son is that His Son's blood is that powerful. It means that much to us. But more so the mindset behind it that God sent His Son. When man was sinful men, continued sinning, continued in evil, continued being wicked, and God sent His Son to die here, to come, preach, teach His Word, God's Word, the Father's Word, for 3.5 years, and set an example for us in His time here on this earth, in that we can get a glimpse of Jesus' care for the Jews, for those as far as the household of Israel, His care for them, and also glimpses of Christ's care for a Samaritan woman, for a few Gentiles. We can see the care of Christ. So, God's creation is who we are. But it's beyond us. It's in those things that sustain us also. So, God cares for us. But what we're going to talk tonight about also is how He cares for us. Because sometimes we probably come up short in thinking about His care for us. There's six points tonight. We pretty much already hit one. So, point number two. It's God's creation, point number one. Point number two, being mindful of His creation. Let's go to Psalm chapter 8. And I was telling the song leader that tonight was the first time, sorry Adam, was the first time I'd heard this song in a congregational sitting where I was there. Of course, I went to the internet and heard it in a congregational sitting where people, I couldn't see the people, but tonight was the first time I heard this song. But it's in both our song books Sunny Slope, but for whatever reason, we don't sing it. But it is a beautiful song. It speaks volumes as far as God's care. But God's Word speaks volumes as far as His care for us. In Psalm chapter 8, as far as God being mindful of His creation, it's real easy for the world or for those in and out of religion, or maybe the religious world, it's real easy to think about God being far off. Because they notice that when they need help, they don't so much want to pray. There's good people that will pray. There's bad people that will pray. But their prayers aren't answered for the most part. And when I say for the most part, sometimes things just happen and, oh, why? We're sitting there going, well, they caught a break. And they'll say, well, I prayed for it and God blessed me. Well, yeah, probably not. But God is mindful of His creation. When you look at Psalm chapter 8, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth, who has set Thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast Thou ordained strength because of Thine enemies, that Thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. And with David, there's many psalms, or let me just say a handful of psalms, that he talks about his enemies. And he gets caught up in his enemies being round about him and his enemies about ready to crush him. But then he considers God. He considers God. And he considers who God is and how powerful He is. And those thoughts are just fleeting images of the enemy as they fleet away when he thinks about God and considers God. Well, here in this, he starts off with his enemies. But then, when I consider Thy heavens and the work of Thy fingers, the moon and the stars which Thou hast ordained, what is man that Thou art mindful of him? I mean, when you sit down and think about it, who are we that God would take care of us? That we can pray to God, we can worship God, we can serve God, and God listens, and God hears, and God sees. Of course, God is a spirit. We put ears and eyes and a mouth on God, but God is a spirit. But God cares. Obviously, Jesus cares. He came to this earth. What is man that Thou art mindful of him, and the Son of Man that Thou visitest him? For Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and has crowned him with glory and honor, God. He made us a little lower than the angels, but He's crowned us with glory and honor, which the full picture of this will come out in Hebrews chapter 2 concerning Christ, the fulfillment of this, the total fulfillment of this. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. All sheep and oxen, yea, all the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. God's mindful of us. I was telling the song leader that even though this was the first time I heard this song, there was two songs that came to my remembrance, or that I think about when I think about God's care for us. One of them is, The Lord Has Been Mindful of Me. I love that song. I just learned it 7 or 8 years ago. Garland Elkins was one who, and it's the same writer as the song that we just sung. But Garland Elkins was the one who taught us that. And then Sweet Hour of Prayer. Sometimes it takes being in a bad or suffering position to really consider the songs that we sing as far as what they mean to me. And I know I've heard stories of people in Vietnam, soldiers that had been captured in Vietnam, and they had been in Vietnam for years and years and years, decades. And there were certain things that they would remember. They would pick up, but the Bible, words of the Bible and songs were the first things that they would remember, and they would hold on to them, and that would give them hope throughout the years that they were in captivity. I say captivity when they were being held. But if someone goes through chemo and their mind isn't working that well, or they're going through different things that causes forgetfulness and things like that, there are certain things that they hold on to. And if you've grown up worshiping at a place like Sunny Slope or like Central, and the songs that y'all sing and the verses, the Bible verses that are mentioned so many times, repeated and repeated and repeated, you remember those. And you hold on to those. And that song, Sweet Hour of Prayer, when I had cancer, I held on to that. Because it reminded me of, even though I was going through something that was pretty dangerous, and chemo that was pretty dangerous, that my Lord was still mindful of me. And as far as Sweet Hour of Prayer, I could go to my Father anytime and pray. I could cast my cares on Him. And I know that He careth for me. Yea, yes, He careth for me. I knew that. I always will know that. But there was a time in my life where I didn't. But God being mindful of His creation, because there's sometimes we're not mindful of Him, but He's always mindful of us. And David knew that. David knew that concerning his consideration of who God was. And looking in the night sky as a shepherd boy, looking in the night sky, seeing the moon and the stars, and being early morning and seeing the sun rise and the moon set. Those are beautiful things. And I enjoy deer hunting. And those are beautiful things when I can sit on a stand in the early, early morning and I can see the moon set and I can see the sun rise. To me, there's no greater power than that right there as far as the earth in motion, the things that are happening on the earth. God's Word, of course, is way more powerful than that. But it's just made a huge imprint on my mind. Point number three, being purposeful about His creation. Being mindful of His creation is one thing, but being purposeful of His creation. On day six, who or what did God create? God had already created several things and put many things in motion before day six. But of course you have man. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1. Because maybe sometimes we don't consider these verses. We don't consider the force, the power of these verses or what God says in these verses. Look at Genesis chapter 1 verse 26. And we're talking about caring. And God being mindful of His creation, God obviously creating and knowing about His creation, being mindful in the sense of who is man that God would be mindful of us. Well, He's our Maker. He's our Sustainer. He's our Creator. He's our Savior. We can just keep going. So of course God would be mindful of us. But He's also purposeful about His creation. He isn't careless about His creation, as some would think. Oh, God just flung them there on the earth and they just go round and round and round and that's all God, you know, that's all God purposed for them to do. No, He gave us His Word. Each and every one of us has souls. He's purposeful concerning His Word that we are to teach and preach the Word of God so that souls won't go to hell. But as we know, there'll be many souls that go to hell. But we don't need to let it fall on us in that we didn't obey the Great Commission. We didn't obey the Word of God as far as we are to go and teach and go and preach to every person that we can. Look at Genesis chapter 1 verse 26. And God said, there had already been a lot of things created, and God said, most things, if not all things, had been created except this one. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowls of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Psalm chapter 8. But notice those words. Let us make man in our image. Oh, God made us to look like Him. God is a spirit. But God has a soul. God has a soul. We have souls. Animals don't have souls. And of course, with some, that's debatable. I know some that believe in the rapture, they believe they're going to be raptured up and they're going to have pet sitters take care of their animals while they're gone. But God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness and let them have dominion in Psalm chapter 8. But then He goes on, so God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. Adam and Eve. And of course, chapter 2, we'll get into the making of Eve. But here we have Adam and Eve. Here we have male and female. Here we have two individuals. You know how we're made? Every 5 seconds, God does the same thing He did at the very beginning. God goes, well, we created Adam and Eve, we'll just keep creating like we did Adam and Eve. No, that's nonsense. But he did tell them to do something. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth. They knew what that meant. God knew what that meant. God purposed what that would mean. That He wouldn't have to create individuals in the sense of like He did Adam and Eve. But through reproduction, through the same thing happening over and over and over all throughout time, babies would be born. Oh, it's a miracle! Well, it's nice to think of birth or the babies forming in the womb as a miracle. But the start of it was at the very beginning when God told Adam and Eve to replenish the earth. How would they replenish the earth? By what husbands and wives do when they have babies, when they have children. And that's been happening ever since the whatever day of creation, the sixth day of creation when God told them to replenish the earth. I don't know if it was a week later, but whenever it started, it hasn't stopped. It hasn't stopped. When I say eternal care, that's what I mean. God did something at the very beginning in showing His care for us that there would always be a way of reproduction. Male and female, husband and wife, and of course, the evil and the wickedness of the world, we've kind of messed that up. But God purposed a home. God purposed a husband and wife and children. But yet, it's so perverted today, and it probably was perverted not soon after this. But then He goes on. God blessed them, said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree, in the which is the fruit of a tree, yielding seed. That seed, it's in man, or in woman, and man. The egg, the seed, the sperm. With a tree, the seed. God doesn't have to every 10 seconds say, well, I'm going to create a tree and another tree and another tree and another tree and another tree. When the Bible talks about a wonderful God, when the Bible talks about a terrible God, wonderful, amazing, can we comprehend that? That at the very beginning, God set things in motion. God doesn't have to go, sun, moon revolve around the earth. Earth revolve around the sun. Moon revolve around the earth. And just keep doing that every 24 hours. God set it in motion. Why? Because He cares for us. He cares for us. The things, the seasons, the days, the hours, the times, those things God put in motion at the very beginning. And they haven't changed. They haven't changed for thousands and thousands of years. Well, Glenn, be specific on that. 6,000 years? They haven't changed. God cares for us. And He continually cares for us because we're still here. And that doesn't mean when He comes that He doesn't care for us. But we're still here. He still sustains His creation. The things that we eat. The things that He provides for us as far as food. As far as oxygen. He started that at the very beginning. It's not something that He has to keep doing. He cares for us. He's purposeful about His creation. In verse 30, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherewith there is life, life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was all right. No. It was good. No. It was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. God is purposeful about His creation. It isn't just chance. It isn't just God setting way off and saying, turning His back and Him going and doing something else, like we might do, taking care of an animal. Oh, I forgot about them for a couple days. I hope they're all right when I go back. Oh, I forgot to feed the fish the last three mornings. And you walk in and it's belly up. That's not the mindset of God. God has put things in motion. We hadn't even talked about His Word yet. His Word is what put things in motion. But His Word concerning His Son, we haven't even touched that yet. But at the very beginning, God was mindful of that. God was purposeful in that. Do not eat of this tree. Now, point number four, being intimate concerning His creation. Being intimate, being personal. Because now all things were created, and you go to Genesis chapter 2, all things were created except for Eve. What happens there? Genesis 2:18. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him." Oh, well, God didn't care. He made a woman for him. That's not how us men need to think about that. What would we do without our wives? What would we do without the love of our wives? And there's a lot of people in the world who don't get married because they don't want to be tied down and this and that. Are they in obedience to God? Are they in obedience to God? No. But we are in obedience to God when we marry. Because He said it is not good for man to be alone. So He made Adam a helpmeet. He made Eve. And we'll stop right there because we could keep going as far as Adam and Eve. But that's what I mean about God being intimate. He saw the individual and He knew it wasn't good him being alone. God knows His creation. You have the family. You have the church. You have the government as far as things ordained by God. God knew that those things would be necessary and those things would be valuable in people's lives. Because He cares. He cares. That doesn't mean that, again, He's constantly keeping an eye in the sense of make a family, make a family, make a family, make a family, make a church, make a church, make a church, make a church, make a Christian, make a Christian. He put things in motion that these things would happen. He put things in motion. He cares for us. Well, Glenn, if you're saying He put things in motion, then what does He do? He works through His Word. He works through providence. Things that we don't have to understand. What God wanted us to know, He gave to us in His Word. What He wanted us to know, He gave to us in His Word. And we can also see His creation. We can see how His creation or the creation works. We know there's a God. Could we know, just as an example, the Indians? Did they know what God created the earth? No, they just made a whole bunch of gods up. Can I know just through God's creation, just through creation, who God is as far as what's His name? What's He doing for me? No, that's what we need His Word for. That's what God spoke to the patriarchs for. That's what God spoke to Moses for as far as His expectations, His commands of men. Did He have to keep coming to the people in the Mosaic age? No, they were taught. In the Christian age, does Jesus have to keep coming to this earth and reminding people? No, He left His Word. He gave us His Word. It's our responsibility to teach others concerning His Word. God is intimate concerning His creation. Now, point number five, being eternally responsible concerning His creation. Being eternally responsible. Go to Matthew chapter 6. The Sermon on the Mount. And you know, at the beginning, I could have asked, talking about God's care, where would you go in Scripture? Where would you go in Scripture concerning God's care for you? Maybe a lot of us would start in the New Testament. Maybe a lot of us would start here. Maybe a lot of us would start somewhere else. There's a lot of places in God's Word that we can go to concerning His care for us, concerning His care for His children. Now, in Matthew chapter 6, verses 24 through 34, "No man can serve two masters, for he either will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." In other words, you cannot serve God or anything else, or and anything else. You just can't, because you're going to hold to the one and not hold to the other. I would rather hold on to my Creator instead of holding on to the pleasures of this world. Holding on to my Creator, I must know that He cares for me. I must know that He loves me. I must know that He's always there for me. That He's within reach at any time. I must know that. And a Christian does know that. One that is in Christ does know that. And if we don't, we're in big trouble. What I mean by trouble is we don't know God. We need to know God. We need to know His Word. We're commanded to study. We're commanded to know His Word, just as those in the Mosaic age were commanded to teach the Word, to teach God's Word to the children. But here I can know there's a God. I can know which God to serve. I can know that I can't serve anything else here on this earth. "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. What shall you eat, or what shall you drink? Nor yet for your body, what shall you put on? Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, neither gather in the barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them." God gives a picture of two things. Us and animals. Us and animals. If God takes care of the animals, why wouldn't He take care of us? Before I even get to that last part of this verse, why wouldn't He care for us? He would. We're much more important. We're much more valuable than the animals of this earth. They don't think. They don't think. They don't have a mind like we do. They don't have an eternal soul. They can't reason. They don't have an eternal soul like we do. And I know to some people that love pets so much, that's debatable. But the Bible doesn't teach us that. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than the raiment? And then the verse, bottom of verse 26, are you not much better than they? Jesus is asking, are you not much better than they? You're so concerned about the troubles and the pleasures and the joys and the tribulations of this world. You get so caught up in worry and concern that you forget about your Creator. You get so caught up about wearing the latest styles, driving the latest cars, living in the latest style kitchen in the home. I want a bigger home than these over here. You get so caught up, and I'm not saying you, but in general, people get so caught up in the things of this world that they forget about God. Oh, how am I going to pay this bill? How am I going to do this? Quit doing foolish things. Quit doing foolish worldly things with your money. Do what you're supposed to. And there's going to be one specific point that Christ will give. If you do one thing, if you do one thing, everything else will take care of itself. "Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? By one thought, what can you do for yourself?" Well, there's a lot of things you can do for yourself, but as far as providing in the sense that God can, we can work, we can sell, we can buy. There's a lot of things we can do, but the idea is, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto your stature? You, as far as your height, as far as your build, you really can't. "And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? The idea is faith. O ye of little faith, but having faith in what? Therefore, take no thought, saying, and he's talking to the household of Israel, who should have the mindset of worshiping and serving God. God being their God, and them being God's children. What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you need of all these things. Your heavenly Father knows what you need, even before you ask for it in prayer. He knows what you need. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's the point. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Your mind should be on glorifying God. Your mind should be on doing spiritual things. Service to our Lord. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself, sufficient unto the day of evil thereof. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Now Psalm chapter 19, if you go and read that, and you read about the judgments and the statutes and the commands and the ordinances of God, they are great. They are great. And that's what we need to seek, the commandments of God. But point number 6, being in tune with His creation. God being in tune with His creation. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 through 9. Because now we're going to get into salvation. Now we're going to get into the Word of God. But how we sing and how we look at the care coming from God or the care that God gives us, many times the world neglects the spiritual care. Many times the world just doesn't care about God in the sense of, I have to be obedient to someone. I have to be obedient to an authority. Look at verse 2. Elect. That's you. That's Christians. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God. God had a plan. God had a plan at the very beginning, and it was concerning you. It was concerning sinful men. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. There were three that were involved in that plan. There was the Father, there was the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and there was the Son, Jesus Christ. All three of them played a huge part in that plan, that eternal plan. The idea of eternal care concerning God's people, concerning the souls of men, concerning God's creation, concerning those that He made in the likeness of Himself. There was a plan in motion. And by the time Peter's writing about it, the plan was already set. Except now you have the apostles going about teaching the plan, teaching the gospel, teaching the good news, teaching the eternal care for God's people. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us, Christians, into a lively hope, living hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Without the resurrection of Christ, there would be no church. There would be no spiritual thought as far as eternal care. But then He goes beyond that to any inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. From the point of men being saved or needing to be saved, men obeying the gospel, and then a home in heaven. There's that eternal care that God provides for us. But we must know about it. We must obey God. We must trust God. Who are kept by the power of God through faith and salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Here on this earth isn't pleasant all the time. But we keep our minds and our hearts on God, and keeping His Word, and spiritual things, that the trial of your faith being much more precious, Peter uses that word at least five times, precious. He names things off that are precious. The precious promises of God, the elect, the blood of Christ, the trials of our faith or the trying of our faith, much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found in the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. That's what we're looking for. Our earthly goals may be here, but our spiritual goal is beyond that. We can look at the 2020 was mentioned just a few minutes ago about all the struggles we've had, all the things that's been going on. Christians, we look beyond that. We look at the hope of our Christ, our Savior, coming back so that we can leave this world with Him. Or we may die first, but our hope is seeing the face of Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now you see Him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Then I'm going to finish up with 1 Peter 5, 1 through 10, and I'll try to be quick on this because I know that's done happen. The elders, eternal care. Eternal care for the church. God had in mind that there would be elders and authorities in the local congregations. That's the care of God. We're not doing our own thing as far as 30 individuals, as far as 100 individuals, as far as 200 Christians, having 200 different mindsets, which should be in unity. We have elders which keep us in check. And they are responsible for our souls. The elders which are among you, I exhort, whom I am also an elder. I am also an elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you. There's that eternal care. Feed the flock. Let them know who God is. Let them know who Christ is. Let them know that in this world there's hope. We have hope with each other, among each other. The things that we're taught, the things that we say to each other, the compassion that we show with each other, the care that we show to each other, edification, so many things that only God's people can show each other and show the world also. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither is being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. There are examples. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder and to the older. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another. Be clothed with humility. That's another key. Be clothed with humility. Know who your authority is. Respect your authority. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Be down here. You don't have to say, hey, look at me, look at me, look at me. No, because you're glorifying yourself. Give the glory and glorify God. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. There's the good guy. There's the wonderful guy. There's our Savior. Be sober. Be vigilant. Eternal care. Be sober. These words were written 2,000 years ago. Living Word. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, the bad guy, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And I don't mean anything small by saying bad guy. Satan is terrible. Evil is terrible. Wickedness is terrible. Is a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resisteth steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. You're not the only one going through these sufferings, these trials. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. We will be examples of God. We are Christ. We are the salt. We are the salt and the light of this world. We are the examples in this world. But casting all your care upon Him, how do we do that? We pray. That's our avenue to God, and abiding in His Word.
That's our avenue to God. I can go to Him anytime. If you're not a Christian, who do you go to? Self. Self is probably your worst enemy. Trusting in self. Doing what you want to do. Not caring who your authority is. Well, not holding to any authority. That's a terrible thing. God is our authority. He is our Creator. He is our Sustainer. He is our Savior. If you're not a Christian, why aren't you a Christian? It's very simple. The plan of salvation. It's very simple. Hear the Word of God. Believe the Word of God. Believe that Jesus came to this earth and died for you. And believe in His resurrection. Repent of your sins. Confess that Jesus Christ, confess before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. And Jesus will add you to His church, to His body, where He is the head and the Savior of that body. And then we must live faithful all the days of our life. All the days of our life. We can't never say, well, now's a good time to quit. I've done my job. No, our job isn't done until we're dead. If you're a Christian and you're in sin, you need to get out of it. You need to be restored. You need to repent of your sins. You need to go to the Father in prayer. There's that avenue. Go to the Father in prayer and confess your sins. And He is faithful. He is just to forgive you of your sins. If there's anything we can do for you tonight, please come as we stand together and sing.